Here we go, everybody. Hey, guys. It is an After Dark podcast, a special podcast, but not all that special, being that I'm the jerk who just didn't do a podcast for 2 weeks in a row. Is that right? I think that is right. That's way too long. I'm sorry. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you saw that I apologized. It's been a little crazy around here. Not in Ohio, though. Things were good in Ohio. I visited Ohio. I don't remember if I told you guys I was going there. But man, guess what I fell in love with? Ohio. I swear, I would move there right now. I was praying to be snowed in. It was so nice. And when I say nice, I mean nice. I mean, people were nice. I don't realize, I guess, how not nice people are in this city I live in. Some people say that people are pretty friendly and nice here in LA, but they're not. Just go to Ohio and then you'll find out what a big difference it is. Anyway, I had a show there of Owen Kidney and he's a Irish director and filmmaker and animator. We had a film that was shown as a solo exhibition at Worcester College Art Museum. And I loved every minute of my time there. So if you guys in Ohio are listening, thank you for being so sweet. I was very well taken care of. I felt comfortable and happy. And I always long for even like 20 minutes, 20 perfect minutes, or let's say a half a day that just goes perfectly, where you're feeling good, you're feeling healthy, you're feeling like things are going to be okay. But I had 3 full days of it, 2 of which were full days traveling. You know, getting from LA to that part of the country takes a while. And I had layovers, but I just had the time of my life for some reason. So thank you to Kitty McManizurko, my new hero in life, who was the curator who brought me out there. And thank you to everybody else, too. I know I've said it a million times now. Sorry. I'm like a one-hit wonder here just talking about how much I love Ohio. I'm also in a lot of pain right now, so I'm sorry if I sound a little bit weird or kind of boring. It's because I'm in a great deal of pain just with this back problem I have. But don't worry about it. I'm trying to be positive. It's been going on for a couple of weeks, and it got really bad, today. But anyway, I'm back home. Things are getting better. Things are going okay. I'm working on my drawing again, my big drawing, and I came home. Billy reached out to our friend Matthew Sontheimer, who we talk a lot about Matthew and Myra Sontheimer on this podcast, two amazing artists and friends. Anyway, and Billy got me these 2 new books, one of which is called An Elemental Thing by Elliot Weinberger. And holy shit, everybody. I'm immediately obsessed with the book. The cover's gorgeous. Guess what? It's a New Directions book. We love New Directions here at Me Reading Stuff. And don't you worry, I will put a description of how you're going to find that, and go to the New Directions page immediately. Order this book. Do not hesitate. Sometimes you guys know I read essays, interesting essays, I hope, on the podcast. And I'm a big fan of John DeGatta, but, Elliot Weinberger just kind of stole my heart here. I'm cheating on John DeGatta with Elliot Weinberger right now. Thank you, Billy, for buying me this book, and thank you, Matthew, for knowing about this book. I'm just obsessed with this book. How do I describe it? I think on the New Directions site, it said it's a vortex, a fugue, a poem in spirit. These are all essays, though. And here on the flap, it says, Elliot Weinberger has taken the essay into unexplored territories on the borders of poetry and narrative, where the only rule, according to the author, is that all the information must be verifiable. And I got to tell you, prefaces usually... Sorry, hold on a second. Okay, I'm back. I just had a coughing attack. Prefaces tend to bore the living shit out of me. I don't know about you. I don't like them. They annoy me. This is the best preface I've read, maybe ever. It starts with Okay, I just cut myself in again, and I'm realizing that my talking about prefaces in that way is pretty lame, but here's my reasoning, and you guys get back to me on this. A lot of times a preface will ruin the mystery of the book ahead of time, all right? Prefaces written, I don't know how to describe it, but I just don't get into it. This preface really is operating on a whole different level. It's just like another chapter, which I know probably all prefaces suppose they are, but they're not. I don't know. Here's a little part of the preface. In the temple, a prisoner without physical blemishes with a name meaning turquoise, year, fire, grass, or comet, words that denote precious time, was stretched across a flat stone with a piece of wood on his chest. And it ends with the last bit of the preface says quails were decapitated. Basically, nothing about this preface makes any sense, which is why I like it. And then we start with chapter one, which is just called The Wind. And I'm going to read you the first three paragraphs. Wind, what is it? You don't see it, but you hear it, and you feel its force. It brings the rains, the drought, the cold, the heat, the locusts, the dust. It drives them away. It bangs the shutters, rustles the branches, flattens the house, spreads fire. It pushes the boats along or makes the waves that sink them. Its breezes in the spring inspire affection. Its howling in winter, dread. In China, the calendar was circular and divided into 8 periods of 45 days. Each ruled by a wind coming from one of the 8 directions, and each determining the rituals of government, the foods to be eaten, the robes worn, the punishment and pardon of criminals, the hours to wake or go to sleep, the times and places to take a walk, the gifts the emperor should send. There were proper winds and evil winds or empty winds, winds that blew from the right direction at the right time and those that did not, causing sickness or chaos, for, it was said, the 100 diseases arose from the wind and entered the 84,000 holes of the body, the acupuncture points, just as it blew through the hollows of the earth. I mean, how badly do you want to read the rest of this book after reading that? And let me skip ahead a little bit to the chapter entitled Chang's, where it is sort of reminiscent in spirit and in look of a David Markson book. And hold on just one second. Sorry, I keep having to drink boring old chamomile tea because I've got some sort of thing going on in my throat. It's reminiscent of Markson in that, let me tell you what it is. Chang's, chapter 2, is just a list of different Chang's throughout the history of China. Different things about different people named Chang. Oh, I forgot to mention, too, Elliot Weinberger, who, by the way, is still alive, lives in New York, born in New York, born in 49, I think, both an essayist and a translator, and we all love translators on this show, meaning me. He went to high school and is good friends with Lydia Davis. If any of you listening don't know Lydia Davis, just do a search on my Me Reading Stuff Podomatic page and you'll find plenty of Lydia Davis. I read her a lot in the early days of this show. And it makes sense. If you know Lydia Davis's work, then you'll recognize a sort of kinship in their work. So anyway, and they even did a New Directions book called Two American Scenes, which I don't even have, but I've seen it and I've looked at it and I need to own it. It's a poem/essay book where they pulled found material from just anything they could find from the 19th century that spoke to them. And then they turned these things into poem/essay. And so it's right up my alley. I hope it'll be up yours. But let me read you some of the Chang's from this chapter of An Elemental Thing as I move around. And I'm trying so hard to not scream out in pain. You have no idea how much pain I'm in right now. Okay. Chang Chiho in the 8th century lost his post under the emperor and retreated to the mountains. He devoted himself to fishing, but never used any bait, for his object was not to catch fish. Chang Tsai in the 3rd century was secretary to the heir apparent. His ugliness was so extreme that children pelted him with stones whenever he went outside. By the way, that didn't happen to me once, but something similar one time. I took my dog for a walk in Kingwood, Texas. That's a suburb of Houston, Texas. My dog, Henry. Normally, we only took walks at night because my dog, Henry, hated children so much. And there were tons of children in our neighborhood. So I would have to wait till it was dark and kids were asleep to take my poor dog on a walk. Well, anyway, I think he was abused by kids before I got him, which is why he hated kids. Anyway, it's a whole long, horrible story. That leads to even more horrible stories. But anyway, I took Henry for a walk alone once during the day. I was just like, let's do this. I mean, I've got him under control. I know nothing that crazy will happen. And I was walking by a group of three boys about like 12 or 13 around there. And they go, hey, lady. And they were really close to me, like, you know, 8 feet away or something. And I go, yeah. And they go, you're really ugly. And I didn't handle it very well. And actually, there's another story about that I'll save for next time. Remind me to tell you another story about someone calling me ugly right to my face. That only happened maybe, oh God, it was about 2.5, 3 years ago. A friend of mine decided to call me ugly in my own home. And we are no longer friends. Anyway, sorry to get so serious. Back to the Changs. Cheng Chen Chao in the 8th century was known for his unmatched honesty. Upon being appointed governor of Shuchao, he held a banquet for his friends and relatives, gave them lavish gifts of silk and cash, and then, tears in his eyes, told them that from now on, he could never see them again. Didn't expect that ending, did you? Cheng Sengyu in the sixth century, painted a pair of dragons without eyes on the Temple of Peace and Joy and warned that the painting should never be completed. A skeptic filled in the eyes and the walls of the temple crashed to ruins as the dragons flew off. Cheng Chao in the 7th century said, flowers must have butterflies, mountains must have streams, rocks must have moss, the oceans must have seaweed, old trees must have creepers, and people must have obsessions. Chang Chu, a poet in the 13th century, wrote a line, the cataclysm of red sheep, that no one has ever been able to explain. The family of Chang Kung Yi in the 7th century was noted for having had 9 generations of harmonious living. When the emperor asked how this was possible, Chang Kung Yi called for a pen and paper and wrote the character Patience over and over. Cheng Cao in the 9th century would paint trees simultaneously using his finger and a worn stump of a brush, one for the living matter and the other for the dead branches and fallen leaves. And here's the last one for tonight. Cheng Hua in the 3rd century wrote a famous rhapsody or rhymed prose poem on the wren. The wren is a tiny bird. It eats only a few grains. It makes its nest on a single branch. It can only fly a few feet. It takes up little space and does no harm. Its feathers are drab. It is useless to humankind, but it too receives the force of life. Ducks and geese can fly up to the clouds, yet they are shot down with arrows for their flesh is plump. Kingfishers and peacocks must die because their feathers are beautiful. The falcon is fierce, but is kept on a tether. The parrot is intelligent, but is locked in a cage where it is forced to repeat its master's words. Only the little wren, worthless and unlovely, is free. Oh, I love it so much. Just a couple more chapter titles just to give you an idea. And I love reading. I'll just read this as a poem. Okay, here we go. The wind, Chang's, wren's, the desert music, north, Giuseppe, the tree of flowers, spring, wind and bone, in lux perpetua, tigers, the hidden span, summer, the tree in the winds, ice, the desert music, south, anecdotal evidence, fall, at the sign of the hand, the vortex, winter, I'm kind of skipping around, the Sahara, Muhammad, the rhinoceros, the stars, the tree of flowers continued. You get the idea. Anyway, that's An Elemental Thing by Elliot Weinberger, my new boyfriend. I hope you like him too. And I'm sorry for going so far over. I felt like since I've skipped a couple of weeks, I might as well go over. Plus, I've been doing these 15-minute ones lately, and you guys haven't been complaining. And in fact, I got another email encouraging me to do, how long did I say I was going to do one for? Like all day long, an 8-hour podcast? I can't do that to you guys. I just can't. No matter how many people say I should, that would be terrible. Plus, I got other things to do. You guys do too, which is why I'm going to set you free like a little wren right now. I want you guys to take good care of yourselves. Don't forget to drink water. Am I still eating bananas and apples every day? Actually, I have not been taking very good care of myself. I'll be honest with you. And I'm back on coffee, although it's decaffeinated, but I think it has something to do with my arthritic problems here. I'm not going to get too into it. I don't want to go on and on, but I want you guys to know that I'm going to vow right now to start taking better care of myself and to be more regular about my rituals, because I like rituals. I like Thursday podcast day. I like meditation at 4 p.m. I like apples at 4:30 p.m. I like bananas first thing in the morning. I like keeping it simple with boring ass tea. I don't really, but I need to in order to be healthy. So those are some things I'm going to work on. Tell me what you're going to work on. Please accept my apologies for being strange lately. And I know that I've missed a lot of messages from people and emails and not calls because no one knows my number, thank God. But I've missed other things and I apologize. I'm just doing my best and I've needed to kind of focus on myself and my stuff. And I've been doing that. So, and again, if my voice sounds weird, it's because I can barely handle speaking. I'm in so much pain. Wish me luck. Do well. Be passionate. One step in front of the other. One day at a time. Keep coming back. I love you all very much, and I'll talk to you soon. Again on Thursday. I promise you right now. I'll talk to you Thursday. Okay, bye-bye.